Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. I was in the Philippines, a week ago or something, and I preached for like 3-4 hours. And I kept telling these stories after stories after stories. They were all true. I seriously have over 100 stories that are all supernatural stories, probably more than that. And I was preaching this. I said, Lord, why do I have all these stories? He goes, you're a living epistle. You're a living epistle. Ho! And so I'm going to try to write a book. I'm going to talk a book and get somebody else to do the hard part. And I'm being a living epistle and just tell all these stories at some point. And we got stories in this room. Stand up, Deborah. First time Deborah came to Beauty for Ashes, we were in a little tiny building that used to be a garage. She came in with breast cancer, very serious, life-threatening breast cancer. God healed her instantly. He healed her that day instantly. But she didn't believe it. She didn't believe it. So, we were new. Her part was she heard me on the radio and she came to a little tiny garage. Our ministry people get freaked out, okay, because we've been wild for a long, long time, amen? And we're not going to tone down for people. Oh, we're going to get stronger in letting God do what he wants. But sometimes your test at this place is just, will you stay long enough to get the healing or deliverance? And so the Lord came on us really strong and told us that she was healed. And I knew that I knew, but I like to teach people who are going to minister too. But it's not for me to make her receive that. It's not for me to say, don't go back to the doctor. Don't. What if she didn't receive it? I say that. She dies. The family's at the funeral going, I thought she was healed. Amen? They have to know that they know. And so anyway, she was telling me, and the cool thing was none of these people had ever come to a meeting before, and neither one of them lived that close by, but her, whatever it is, caseworker, the main nurse in charge, was at the same meeting. There was only 50 people at the meeting, and one of them was Deborah, and one of them was her caseworker, had to be God, or whatever they call the nurse. So I turned to the nurse, and I'm like, when I found out this, I said, look, have her rechecked before. She was going to have her breast removed like 2 days later. I said, have her checked before. And the nurse says, even though the president's guy was there, the nurse caseworker, whatever you call them, says, well, her insurance won't cover it. Well, I'm not in charge of what y'all do with your money and stuff. And I'm like, okay. And then so Deborah left and she called me. And somehow she had my phone number and she called me. And she was so full of fear. She just didn't know. And I'm praying. And all I see, I pick up all this fear. I recognize this isn't faith. This is a lot of fear. But I still believe with all my heart she's healed. So I begin to pray with her. And I see the Lord. And I see his hand. And he's got her breast in his hand. And I said, let me tell you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing your breast in the Lord's hand. So what can you believe for? Can you believe that the doctor can surgically go in and get rid of all the cancer? And she's like, I can believe for that. I said, well, I just believe you're healed, but I'm going to come in agreement. See, we can only come in agreement with your faith, people. Even Jesus could do no miracles because of their unbelief, okay? We're not going to stop a spiritual law that requires your faith, to receive what Holy Spirit pours out, okay? If Jesus couldn't bypass his own spiritual law, we are ridiculous to think that we can, amen? And so, but we can also get sensitive and minister to where is her faith level. And she had faith to say, well, surgically, I believe for this. So they went in and they did not rerun the test because the love of money makes people afraid to spend some. Could have saved a lot of people a lot of trouble. They removed her breast to find out there was no cancer in it. They came back to apologize for her. They thought there was going to be an unbelievable lawsuit. She was just so thrilled that God had really healed her. Amen. And because of this, normally back then, it's changed now. Laws have changed. But back then, if you had to have a surgical breast removal, they just did not give you a very good substitute surgery. You did not get plastic surgery like people will pay a lot. Well, they apologized and said, look, we're going to do plastic surgery. They took some fat from places. She was happy to get rid of it. Amen. And what a lot of people pay a lot for, they went to reform a breast. Well, back then, I don't know anything about today, it took months for that tissue to sit on your where your breast is and has to do something before they can go back and form it. She was so excited that God had healed her. We were having a retreat, like we had men on one side in a dormitory and ladies on another side in a dormitory, and then we all met in the middle. We had some wild times. I'm telling you, Lord, I'm ready for new wild times. Whoa! Oh, ooh, yay. Okay, so Deborah shows up. Now, she's in full recovery. She's not supposed to even move. She said, I have to come. So we're like, oh, gosh, okay, we'll sit. We put her on the couch so she could lay. She wasn't supposed to be walking or anything. During that meeting, God formed that breast. God formed the breast. So she's running around showing everybody. I'm like, don't. We got men here, you know. Don't. We just believe he would take you at your word. But when you really get healed, you know that you know. Amen. But look at the faithfulness of God. He still didn't put the cancer back in. Amen? But you can only come in agreement with where somebody's faith is at. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, fully filled with Holy Spirit, could not do miracles except a few healings, he said, where there was unbelief. Amen? So we need a belief level individually and corporately to begin to rise. And part of what has stolen that from the body of Christ is pretended faith. So I'm going to tell you when God showed me pretended faith. Now, my son had already gotten the miracle healing from me having the discussion with God. Amen? And this, I went through a 15-year journey with the Lord, learning the things of God and healing and deliverance for my son not to be in the grave. Amen. But that for, it's when he got healed of the chicken pox, which I talked to early, I didn't know about root causes. I didn't know about generational curses. I really didn't understand all that. So when I prayed and the Holy Spirit said, ask, believe in, and get, I'm going to do exactly what you say, I didn't say, could you go to the root of this and pull it up? Could you break any power? I didn't know that. Amen? His people perish because of what? Lack of knowledge. Okay, I just want everybody to get this. His spiritual laws are really big, and there's a lot more than just speak it. Praise God for speak it. Praise God, get our hearts right. Praise God for what he set a foundation today. Amen? But people, let's grow up. There is spiritual laws. If your motive is wrong, then you won't get your answer. You don't even know if your motive is wrong unless you spend some time with God and find out what's your motive. You can go to a meeting and see somebody shaking in the power of God or any other supernatural thing. You can see that, and you could just look at that and say, wow, I want that. Well, you're not wanting the Holy Ghost. You're wanting to be seen as spiritual. And Satan can give you that thing really fast, even in a true anointed meeting, because you're asking, and you're asking with wrong motives. So Satan is answering. And there's a lot of that out there in the prophetic movement. I just wanted to let you know. Because Satan, he just waits for you to ask with the wrong motive, because he's the one who gave you the wrong motive. Amen? Ho! So that doesn't take away from the real. So you want God to heal the brokenhearted places. It's the second thing. Well, I don't believe in inner healing. I told God when I used to do inner healing, when I first started doing healing, I have visions. And he would show me things, and I'd speak those things. And I'm saying to God, I don't believe in this. He goes, don't worry about it. I do. Just do it. And then he went and showed me in scripture that he came to heal the brokenhearted. What do you think that is, people? Everything he does, that's Luke, what, 4:18? Everything he does is supernatural, divine. Amen? He didn't come to counsel you with human wisdom. He came to divinely heal you. To really heal the brokenhearted for real takes visions. It takes seeing in the spirit. It takes taking people back to what happened to them, breaking. It's a lot of stuff involved supernaturally. The gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, all those gifts operate to heal the brokenhearted. We act like it's a 2-minute seminar with a few scriptures. If you're not healed in the brokenhearted places, the Bible says next you get set free. You got to do that first. Get saved, get healed emotionally, spiritually, all that mess, and then cast the demons out, and they can't come back 7 times worse. Another topic, another day. Amen? Whew. So anyway, So God is going to start ministering. So I'm praying. My son's home. I'm speaking at places. My book is finished. Life is great. Well, it's not really great. I'm still really fighting the enemy for my family over sorrow and grief. My daughter's with the Lord. I'm getting victory in the new walk. Amen. I lost the battle when the Lord tried to show me how to save my daughter's life from the enemy. Okay? You got to get the book to understand all that. But as soon as that battle's over, I'm in a new battle. The new battle is against sorrow and grief. The new battle is, am I going to believe God in his word? The new battle is, am I going to stand and believe for my husband to not fall apart and walk away from God? Am I going to stand and believe for my sons to grow up healthy? Am I going to get the picture for my life that Satan's trying to give me? Or am I going to hang on to the vision that God's placed in my heart? And these are all choices we make. And I'll tell you something, I'm ready for us to start using our faith for some of the big stuff. When I read the book of Acts, I didn't get through the whole thing because I've been really busy this last week. But as I went through parts of the book of Acts, I was specifically looking for what did the early church use their faith for? What did the early church use their faith for? I saw that they used their faith for the boldness to speak when they're told they're going to be put in prison if they speak. They asked God, give us faith for boldness to speak as we ought. I see Stephen being stoned, and it talks about putting his faith there to say what needs to be said. And I said, Lord, I want to begin to use my faith for the big stuff. Amen. The word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's a whole kingdom. Does everybody get that? It doesn't say seek ye first. It doesn't say seek ye first Jesus. You can't even get in the kingdom without Jesus. And you're in the kingdom when the Holy Spirit comes in you. You are in the kingdom when the Holy Spirit comes in you. You are not in the kingdom until the Holy Spirit comes in you. You cannot get the Holy Spirit, the true Holy Spirit, in you unless you confess Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. Oh, and you give him the knowledge that he is master and he's king. I'm not going to get into all that. You got to get the teaching because I want to get to this one topic and I have an hour. So what you want to do is to recognize that he says to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness is being right where he wants you to be. If I was where I was 2 weeks ago, I would not be righteous today. Righteousness is something I choose to live in. I want to be right. For those who are here and you're supposed to be here, it's part of you being righteous today. For those who are supposed to be here but went shopping instead, they're not walking in that righteousness today. And whatever they're missing because they're not being righteous and walking where he wants them, right where he wants them, there's going to be consequences for that. That's just how it works. Amen is how it works. He says very clearly, seek first. Okay, so it can't be second. It can't be third. It can't be fourth. In the things of God, it's do it his way or it's not working. So most of the church, including me way back, were not seeking first his kingdom. We didn't even know we were supposed to. Because we weren't reading his word and we weren't letting the Spirit make those things jump off the page, amen, to say, seek first, seek first, seek first. So I want to start with, if you want real faith, repent for not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and start today doing that, amen? Just like with Joanne sharing about the power of your words and how you build up and you can't get higher than your confession, that's powerful. So I want to bust all that mess that would take me, keep my, what you're seeing so much less than what he's calling me to. Amen? So I want to seek first. Seeking first means seeking first. That means when you get up in the morning, you talk to God first. It means you make sure that you're going to read his word, get in his presence, worship him. You're going to begin to rearrange your schedule around seeking first his kingdom. Amen? And you're going to take it really serious. And in his kingdom, I'm going to learn his ways. In his kingdom, and I'm seeking it first for real, and it's not a cute little bumper sticker, then he's going to begin to teach me. He's going to show me. He's going to reveal to me. He's going to get you to conferences like this and teachings like that. And he's going to tell you what to stay away from and what to go and eat. Amen? So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, I'll add all these things to you. And those things, if you go study that, are food, shelter, clothing, healing. So I've decided to seek first his kingdom, and trust him and watch him take care. I walk in divine health. I walk in divine health. I'm not kidding about it. You can ask me about it. I had a kidney stone about 3 years ago. And it was a doozy. I had to go to the hospital. My husband made me. The sucker was big. Like, I don't know if that big. But anyway, they showed, they took all the, whatever they do with rated, you know, whatever pictures they take to show you. And they gave me these drugs that are going to, the kind of morphine, horrible. What do you give me that for? So I had a baby. Come on, you know. And I've decided I'm going to go home, and they want me to take this stuff. They gave me like three prescriptions, and then I'm like, well, I said, and then they're going to start, as I'm sitting there, because I've learned God's ways, I begin talking to God. I say, God, a kidney stone is something that's hard, that's in a very delicate part of the body that doesn't belong there. And it's because you consume something that didn't get broken down right. I said, Lord, what is it in the natural, that's natural, what in the spirit realm could allow a kidney stone? And the Lord said, your hard heart about certain things. So while the doctor and them are doing all their tests, I'm repenting of those places where my heart was critical and hard. I'm just repenting. As I'm repenting before the Lord and breaking the power of Satan having any kind of legal right to give me that kidney stone, all the pain levels, what pain level are you, all this stuff. And it went from a 7, which would have been 10 for anybody else, because I've always had a really high tolerance for pain. Thank you, Jesus. But it went from what I would call a 7 down to like a 2. And almost one, almost gone. So they're coming back, and I'm like, they're prepping me to give me some drugs and give me some water stuff and all this stuff. And I'm like, what are you doing? I said, my pain level now is only not even a 1. Well, I said, no, I don't want any of this stuff. What? Not, I wasn't faking it. I knew God gave me the answer. And as soon as I had the spiritual reason behind the attack, because I was talking to God and hearing God and walking with God, that pain went away. Now, they came out with these pictures and all this and told me how bad it's going to be. So they told me, well, we're going to send you home. We want you to take these prescriptions. I said, I don't want those prescriptions. They said, we're going to tell you something, because they wanted to keep me. We're not letting you back in this hospital tonight. Because when you get home and this thing hits you, you're not going to know what to do with it. And we're not letting you back in because you are being discharged without following our instructions. I said, I'm not coming back tonight. Now, I knew one of two things was going to happen. Either he was going to carry my pain, and I just passed this sucker without a lot of pain. Ho, because I believe for that. Or he was going to make it disappear. So when I got home, I told my husband, all I want is ginger ale, water, and nothing else. I don't want the thing to relax. I mean, they had all kinds of stuff. I said, I don't want any of these other things. I don't want any painkillers. I don't want anything. And I'm going to stay upstairs. You stay downstairs. If I get loud, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Now, this was serious. This stuff is serious. You know what I'm saying? That's why I have a serious conversation with a serious God, and I'm seeking his kingdom and his ways and understanding, and I'm ready to grow up. Amen? I'm ready to grow up. So, he's so cool. And so I'm sitting there, and the pain was gone, but you know how the enemy's trying to bring the pain back? So I begin to kind of feel the pain. And the doctors had kind of cursed me with, and I said, I'm not receiving that. But they kind of said, you know, by midnight, you know, this thing's going to really hit you. And it's probably going to take a couple days to get through all this. So I have to cast down the imagination that the pain is about to come and hit me. Amen? I got to actually do what the Bible says, led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Like, I got to do it. It's not hidden knowledge. It's a reality that in the Spirit and in the kingdom, I now have to cast down this imagination that this pain is going to hit me. It's going to last 3 days. And the doctors are just telling me what they see. They're not making it up. They're not making it happen, okay? They're just, all doctors do, this is really all doctors do, and thank God for them. They look at things they've seen a million times and try to come up with a reason. And if it's anything strange, they don't have a clue. Honestly, and they'll try this and try this and try this and try this. So just trying by case studies and things they've seen to decide what really medications, that's all they really pretty much do, is going to help. So I'm sitting there. God's so cool. And I haven't heard from him yet what we're going to do. So I'm sitting on the bed. I got my little dog on the bed. And I got some worship. I said, God, are we going to handle this where you're going to carry this pain? Because I want you to get me in that place where I won't feel this pain. I said, are you going to do this another way? Are you going to get rid of this? And he turned me to a scripture, which is really funny because I had a different Bible translation than normal, which I have like three or four I use anyway, but he gave me this other one. And in that one, it says that the Lord came to, instead of destroy the works of the enemy, it said dissolve. He came to dissolve the works of the enemy. And the minute I heard that in my spirit, I saw the Lord's hand like this, go like this, and that kidney stone dissolved. The instant that happened, I fell out into almost like a coma. Like, I was gone, people. I had the best sleep I've ever had in my life. I slept so deep. I slept nothing. I woke up in the morning and it was gone. My husband's like, Cindy, honey, sweetie pie, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. God healed me. Now, my husband's an engineer at NASA, and he's very intellectual, so, and he's lived with this wild woman of God for a long time, 40 years, and he still, his brain still has a little bit of a hard time with a lot of this. He believes, but it has to go through a different process. So he's looking at me like, oh, it just hasn't hit yet. I come to church that morning, and I share with everybody what God did. Everybody's still looking. Oh, it hasn't hit yet. You know, oh, no, I know. I had a kidney stone. It took 2 days after the doctor said that. And the enemy's sitting there trying to say, it just hasn't hit yet. It hasn't hit yet. But I'm declaring, Lord, you gave me that word. You said you dissolved it. You put me in a deep sleep. You took care of this thing, and I had to fight it. And there was times during the next week where you'd feel a pain here and there. I say, no, God dissolved it. No weapon form is going to prosper, amen? Well, it's been 3 years, so let's all admit God dissolved it, amen? Amen? So I'm telling you about a quick one. I'm telling you about this power of having a real relationship with the real God, talking to him. What a privilege to talk to him. But let me say this, don't just run to him for the first time when you're in the middle of a crisis. How about talk to him on the good days? How about seeking first his kingdom and talking to him in the morning, throughout the day, at night before you get to bed, in the night hours. If you wake up, then spend time with God. Hang out with God. Make the devil, if the devil's waking you up, you get more powerful than God. He's going to leave you alone and let you sleep. Amen? Don't waste it just sitting there thinking and worrying. Just like, if you really can't go back to sleep, put on worship music, hang out with God, learn something. Amen? Amen? So I'm going to tell you the story of when God showed me about pretended faith. Now, I had already seen miracles, okay? We saw my sister's baby was basically raised from the dead, Donna's, which we started this whole journey with some of that. I've seen people healed. I've seen miracles. So it wasn't like I was a newbie to all this. But I had been praying, and people really thought that I had so much love. Now, I love Jesus. Like, I really love God. He has so set me free from grief and sorrow. I've seen him with my eyes, like, in a church one time. I saw him physically in a church. I saw him in visions two or three times in heaven. And, he's so good looking. Oh, my gosh. Baptists got that one wrong, okay? The Baptists have it wrong when they say he was nothing to look at. I know they use this scripture. All that scripture's saying is you couldn't tell he wasn't a human being. Well, I'm going to promise you this. He is a good-looking human being, just so you know. I remember after I saw him, I told my husband, I'm really glad we're not married in heaven. I love you, but you cannot compete with this. He's glorious. I'm just telling you. He's just glorious. So, he's just awesome. Wah! So anyway, so I was praying. I was talking to the Lord, and I was doing meetings and talking and on the radio, and people thought I was just so wonderful. I said, Lord, I don't really love them. They all think I love them. I really don't. I mean, I love my own children, my own family, but I don't feel anything great love for these people. I just pray for them because you tell me to, and I see them healed, and I set them free, and I cast out demons, and because I love you, God. And I said, but God, this is kind of, if you want to say kind of empty, because I'm supposed to have compassion, and if I would get compassion, then they don't need faith. If I could get compassion, then I could move the enemy out of the way for people because I love them so much like you did. Because there's two healings. One is your faith has healed you, or he was moved with compassion. And you have to have faith to move in compassion. And my personal life, I have found out I walk through stuff to get to the next level of faith. I'm always changing from glory to glory. So I said to God, I'm having this conversation. I said, Lord, you know, I really need that compassion thing. Only you can do it. Do you know he doesn't expect you to do what only he can do? This isn't like a self-help. You know, this isn't like Oprah's 5 steps to self-help. This is about recognizing where you're lacking and asking the most powerful creator of all time to come in and change you. And how many know that's going to have some ouch moments to it and a ton of supernatural to it? Amen? So I said to God, Lord, I'm tired of people thinking I'm so kind and thinking I love so much because I don't feel it. I don't feel about them the way I should. I'm just honest with God, okay? I said, would you please work in me compassion? So what happened next? Being led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, at the same time Satan trying to cash in on his legal rights to try to take my son's life through generational curses. I can't tell you it all. It's a 15-year testimony, okay? But I will tell you about the day, and this book will be coming out whenever I'll take the time to finish writing it. So I'm walking into the hospital. All of a sudden my son got really sick. His blood levels dropped extremely low. He had only 20 to 25% of the blood in his body. Like extremely, shouldn't even be able to hardly move. And I was using the word then, boy. I was speaking the word and speaking the word and speaking the word and speaking the word. And I believe to this day he lived long enough to get to the doctors because I was speaking that word. But had I only spoke that word and hadn't humbled myself, because my thinking was, I'm a believer, I shouldn't have to go to doctors. And the truth is, as a believer, we shouldn't. But how many know we're not believing enough yet? Amen? Amen. And so thank God that God humbled me enough, and my husband was insisting. God really helped with this situation, because my intellectual husband was like, I don't care what you say, this child's going to the doctor, and he's going now. Anyway, so I'm walking into, they send us, when they find out his levels are so low, I won't go the whole story, there's other stuff in between, but they send us to King's Daughters, King's Daughters in over Norfolk. Very nice place. And I remember walking through the corridor, and they gave us an appointment. They're taking my son in to test him for cancer. And I remember, I'll never forget, because you know you have those Kodak if you're old and a selfie if you're young moments with God. Amen. So I'm walking down the corridor, and I remember seeing that they're sending us to this place to test him for cancer because he has almost no blood in his body. And so I go in through the door. I said, you wait here with your dad. And I went to the restroom. I said, God, I changed my mind. I changed my mind. I don't need compassion. I don't want to go on this one. I don't need compassion. Let's just let me minister loving you, and I'll be empowered by you. And you love them. I want to cancel this. And the Holy Spirit said, we're not doing that. You're going to walk through this. You're going to walk through this. And you're going to hold on to me, and you're going to walk through this. Now, I'm thankful he didn't tell me it was going to be 15 years. I'm thankful he didn't tell me how many times to the doctor. I'm thankful he didn't tell me what it was going to take for me to come to a place of learning, number one, what he wants me to learn so I lack nothing. Count it all joy. Count it joy, your various trials, because what he's actually doing is he's getting you to a supernatural, divine, powerful place of lacking nothing. And so I won't go through the whole story. I'm just going to now fast forward. Well, I got to tell this part. Before we went for this appointment, we stopped at the church. I didn't oversee a church at the time. We stopped at our church, and we went to make sure the tithe was paid up, because we wanted to make sure the devourer did not come in and steal our faith. Amen? So it's like, no, we're not going to even have to deal with casting that thought down. So my husband and I, on the way to this very important, get here right away, the doctor said appointment, we stopped and we paid the tithe. Now, there was a prophet at that time who had gotten way off track, and he came out, And he prophesied cancer over my son. And I knew it wasn't of God. And I said, I don't receive that. And that person's no longer on the earth. I hope he got into heaven, but I'm not sure. And I got in the car, but it struck such a desperation in my spirit, like, oh my God, Satan's trying to put cancer on my son. And so I began to pray. God had given me a scripture for years. I can't tell you right now where it's at because I didn't know what I was going to share, and I don't know where anything is in there. I only know what's in there. I can't help it. I'm trying to help it, but I don't seem to memorize where the part he didn't write. I don't seem to memorize, and the rest I know it's in my heart. So anyway, so there was a scripture about the avenger of blood. I think it's 2 Samuel somewhere. 2 Samuel 14 anyway. But there's a spirit about the avenger of blood is trying to kill. And so back then it was about they're trying to kill you to get even with you for something, and you had to go hide on a certain place and they couldn't get to you. And so God gave me this scripture, and all of a sudden the Lord's like, I've been giving you this scripture for years. You need to break the power of the avenger of blood. And so the Lord began to show me, because you went and prayed for this person, they were healed, and this person got healed from cancer, and you fought this battle for this person, the enemy is trying to avenge that by bringing cancer on your son. So I got into the clinic, and I wasn't near as bold then as I am now. I'm really learning to be bold, and it takes faith to be bold. It takes faith. It takes boldness is not just you saying what your brain wants to say. Boldness is saying what God's telling you to say. Amen. That's real boldness. The boldness that matters is what God's doing, not what you're trying to imitate. Amen. And so I get in there and they take his blood before I have a chance to pray for him to break this off. Now, at this time in my walk, my husband's still not into this whole God supernatural stuff. He's a believer, but he's not into this other part. And our daughter, you know, hasn't been that long ago that she, I mean, we worked through it. Okay. And so I said, I'm like, oh God, I got to pray for my son. So I prayed. I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me for not telling them no, they couldn't take the blood yet. Forgive me for not being bold enough. God, please give me another chance. Please give me an opportunity. And so the nurse turns around and comes in the room, and she goes, she's shaking her head. She goes, I followed every procedure. I followed every single procedure. She goes, but for some reason, this blood's contaminated. And so they told me because I took the blood, I have to come and apologize to you and retake the blood. She goes, so we're going to get ready to go prepare for that. I'm so sorry. Because he doesn't have much blood, so they don't want to take more blood. I knew that was God. God contaminated that blood because I repented and prayed. So I began to pray. So I went to my son. I said, when I say three, the spirit of vengeance has to come out of your blood. It has no authority. And my son's so sick. And I prayed. That child threw up all over the place. That devil came right out. They retook the blood. Thank God. And they could not find cancer in the blood. They kept thinking, he has to have cancer. The way his blood cells are so low, the way the enemy, it's got to be cancer. But they couldn't find cancer. 5 years, they said it had to be cancer. 5 years, they could never find cancer. 5 years, I sought the Lord with everything within me, cried out, went to every healing meeting, prayed, read the word, broke every power of generational curse and things that could lead to cancer. He never has. By the time it was said and done, when his blood levels were normal, 15 years later, the doctor actually said to us, which a doctor would never say this, I'd always pray before a doctor appointment. And you got to pray in faith. You can't just have words you're saying. Amen? So I would pray in faith that the enemy could not speak through the doctor, and the doctor could only say what God wanted me to hear. And the doctor on the last one said, Cindy, you got what you wanted. And he looked at Mitchell and goes, you'll never have cancer. No doctor will ever tell you you'll never have cancer. Amen. But God speaking through a doctor can say that. I told Mitchell, I don't know what the enemy might try to bring your way, but he's not going to get to bring cancer. Amen? Amen. But anyway, so let me fast forward. So the whole time now I start like, we shouldn't have to go through this medical stuff. We shouldn't have to do this. So there was some real faith, right? But there's a new level of faith, a new place of glory God's making me go to. Amen? Because he wants me to lack nothing. His kingdom, people, is not this simple. Let me have food. Let me have clothes. Let me have this and that. That's an infant place to walk in God. Amen? The bigger place is, what am I going to do and learn for the kingdom? What am I going to do that's going to glorify God? Amen? And so I'm like, okay, Lord. So fast forward through this. We've been going through this. And the doctors are saying, okay, we can't find cancer. It must be an autoimmune problem. But so they want to start him on steroids. And I don't want him to have steroids because really it was pride. I'm a child of God. I believe in the word of God. My child should not have to take any kind of meds. And I got really crazy with it, okay? And that's where I even had a prophetess, really nice at the church. She's real laid back. And I went to a meeting. I was talking about how much faith I have. This is your, oh Lord, help me. And she prayed for me, and the power of God hit me. She goes, if God wants that nurse not to give him that steroid or that treatment, he won't get the treatment. And you're so full of fear about him getting the treatment that it's not God. And I fell out. And I'm thinking, who does she think she's talking to? Does she not know? Has she not read my book? Does she not know how much faith I walk in? Has she hasn't seen these healings and this? And here she is prophesying that I'm full of fear and it's not faith. Huh. Come on, I'm just honest, okay? I tell everybody my mess, all right? I just tell everybody my mess. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ for setting me free. I don't live in condemnation, so I can share the stuff that I've walked through to get to where God wants me to be. Praise God. So we finally get to this place, and I kept putting my, we'd get in there with the doctor. And let me say this. This part I really had to repent of, because one thing that this pretended faith, in that one area, what was the pretended? I was trying to put faith out there that my son did not have to go through medical treatments. Okay, I'll tell you, in my heart of hearts, I knew he was going to live and not die and glorify God. In my heart of hearts, I knew he would be completely healed. I knew it. Amen. That never wavered. It never, ever wavered. Real faith doesn't waver. It's like you get that knowing, and the enemy does everything he can to steal it. But sometimes how we're going to get there and what God is going to do with it, because Holy Spirit is much more concerned with me being made in the image of Christ. He's much more concerned with me getting to where I need to be for what he's called me to and what he has for his glory in my life. Amen? He's much more concerned with that than me having this nice, easy life. And if we don't begin to count it joy and embrace him and walk this out, you're going to sit there feeling disappointed and defeated and not maturing. Amen? So anyway, so after weeks and weeks of the doctors putting it off, I'm like, no, give me one more week. And I tell Mitchell, this is the part I repent. I said, Mitchell, this is it. I gave him, he's so sweet. He's a little tiny boy, cute as could be. I gave him this little, we made a little sword at home and just a paper one, and we put a scripture on it. So he had like three or four little swords on, you know, on a keychain thing. And I said, you read these over your body, read these over your body. But I moved into pretended faith because, number one, I wasn't that free from it yet or understanding the difference. And so I told him, read this every day over your body. Read these over your body. And there's truth in that, right? But there was so much fear mixed in. And I'll just fast forward to years later when God showed me this. This kid is brilliant. My son Mitchell, he's the one who got healed the brain. He's just a brilliant, really cool kid. And I wondered, I don't know, when he was about, I'm terrible with dates, but somewhere when he was in junior high school, probably high school, I was telling him, like, why don't you put all that thinking that you have in studying in the Word of God? You know, why don't you just get into the Word of God and just apply all that brilliance you have? And he burst out crying, and he said, Mom, I can't make that word work. He said, it just doesn't work for me. What I had done in pretended faith was I shoved it down his throat so bad in fear that if he didn't do this, he was going to die. Now, I didn't do it that blatant, you know what I'm saying? But that was the spirit behind it. And it caused him afraid to try to do the word of God. I repented. I was so broken. That's the last thing I'd want to do. I'm a teacher of the Bible. Amen. I train people to grow and mature in God. And here my own son, who's brilliant, is afraid he can't make the word of God work, because when he was a little boy, pretended faith turned him off and made him afraid that if he did something wrong, he's going to die. It broke me when God showed me this. And I told my son, I said, I am so sorry. I love you. I loved you then. I was so afraid of burying you. I didn't realize how much fear I still had. I had pride. I'm so sorry that I did that to you. I'm not sorry about the power of the word of God. I'm not sorry that you spoke it over yourself. Amen? Do you understand how you can have the wrong motive but be doing the right thing? Amen. That's pretended faith. That's pretended faith. So after that, boy, he did a thing in his school and preached, and they were all amazed and got every kid in the class an A, because the teacher said, anyone who wants to stand up and think they can do the whole final exam, he's a Christian school, and if somebody wants to stand up and gets the whole class to participate and can take the whole 2 hours, then I'll give the whole class an A. But if you start doing it and you can't go the whole 2 hours, then everybody has to take the exam from that point on. This brave child says, I'll do it. If I was in the class, I'd be, shut up, Mitchell Vosser. He did so good, the teacher was like, I can't believe it. This kid can really preach. Amen. And he got everybody an A in the class. But anyhow, so the day that God really, really broke pretended faith off my life, we were in the clinic at King's Daughters. This was about, who knows, I can't even tell you how many visits, probably at least 5 or 6 months. His blood levels were so low, and they would go up a little and down a little. And the doctor, my husband, I guess, decided, we need to keep your wife out of it. She's kind of batty about this. So they had decided before we went to the hospital that day that they were going to start the treatments no matter what. Nobody told me, which was probably good. Now, how did I know it was pretended faith? When I got to the doctor's office, and the whole time I tell Mitchell, don't worry, they'll never give you these treatments. No worry. God's not going to let you go through these things. Oh, I hate pretended faith. And so that day, the doctor, he walks in and he goes, okay, the treatment's going to start right after lunch. I'm like, wait a minute, you haven't got his blood levels back yet. And you could look at him and tell he was so sick. They go, you know, and the doctor's like, you know, Mrs. Foster, you know, John and I talked about this, and we're going to start the treatments today. Let me tell you how I knew pretended faith. My husband and I are walking to the cafeteria, which I was so tired of eating at. Now, my son never had to stay overnight but a few times. It was the day in and out every day. We had to go for months and stuff. And you guys, I was so mad. Like, something in me wanted to run with my son, grab him and run away. Something in me wanted to slap my husband and say, how could you make our son go through this? Something in me that wasn't me. It was pretended faith. It was fear that said, you have to prove this word is true. You have to show this word is true. Does this make sense to anybody? Yeah. That thing rose up in me. And I realized this is not a fruit of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I seriously would almost say that thing made me want to hate my husband and hate the doctor as if they were trying to hurt my son. And I had to rescue my son and get out of there. And I just knew something was wrong with this. I just sat at the table. I'm like, don't even talk to me, to my husband. Don't even talk to me. Sunday, we're going to do this. It's just steroid treatments. It can't hurt him. It's going to. So, and I'll tell you, I'm being very. This is a very humbling story. It just shows the wickedness that can be in the heart of even believers. Amen? So here we go with pretended faith into the room where they're going to start the treatment. Now, this room in the clinic was where all the kids were taking chemotherapy. And the other thing, what's the thing that mainly Hispanics and blacks get? Sickle cell. Those were the two things they treated in there, was cancer and that, and then these autoimmune, if it needed these kind of clinic treatments. So I'm sitting there still believing, God, you're going to intervene. You're going to intervene. All of a sudden, this little boy, whose mom couldn't even be there, I think she's a single mom, because she had ran out of any time off work. Her son had been in that clinic getting chemo for a brain tumor, a little tiny, maybe 8 or 9 year old boy. His sister was sitting at the end. There was no parent who could be with him. He was there getting who knows how many treatments. He was so sick. This is so embarrassing, humbling. All of a sudden, the code blue goes off, or whatever the code is, that basically says, this kid's dying, everybody here. So the nurse who is about to start my son's treatment says, oh, we can't do this right now. We've got anybody left. And my first horrific thought was, oh, thank God. And then I looked at this little boy dying in front of me with serious cancer. And here I am in pride that I don't want my son to take a steroid treatment because I'm a child of God. I ran into the bathroom I sat on the floor and I cried and I said, God, who have I become? Forgive me. Please, God, heal that little boy. God, please don't let that little boy die today. God, I surrender. I just yield. However we're going to do this, we're going to do this. You're going to use those steroids. You're going to use this thing. You're going to give us time. God, I just ask you to forgive me. I can't explain it except for I saw it for what it was. It was fear using the word of God based on pride that I shouldn't have to go through this. And when I walked out of there, I don't know that the little boy died that day. I'm pretty sure that little boy died. I never saw him in the clinic again. But I was just yielded. And then I had to break the power of everything I ever said against the treatments to try to get other people not to want him to have treatments. I know none of y'all do any of this. Amen. All of a sudden I realized the words I spoken, like, well, honey, we can't do these treatments because it could cause this, or we don't want to do this because it could cause this. I was speaking negative things if he ever had to have the treatments. And all of a sudden I had the fear of the Lord, like, oh my gosh, I've cursed these treatments because of the pride of not wanting to have to be in the hospital because I'm a child of God. Amen. And man, thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. And I said, God, I break the power of those words I spoke. I break the power of trying to get people to agree with me against the treatments, but out of fear instead of faith. Does everybody get what I'm saying? And I just asked God to forgive me. And then we started the real journey. I won't get into all that. God began to teach me everything about the end times and the anemic church and how he was going to heal the church and how many times a prophetic move would start up and break and start up and break and start up and break before the real came. And that that when my son would get married in real life, it would be the beginning of God beginning to outpour the next thing he was going to do. Well, that happened 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago or something now. Because that was beginning to represent the bride. The intimacy. Anyway, it's an unbelievable story that I should have wrote down. I just didn't know it was going to be 15 years. And I need the Lord to give me all the things he taught me. But one of the main things he taught me is that when I go into a doctor, because my body's saying I need to go to a doctor, and I've prayed and I've sought the Lord, I only listen for what the devil's up to. And then I go before God and I say, God, why does Satan think he can do this? Teach me, show me. And then I get that thing out of my heart, or I break that curse, or whatever it is. Amen. I seek the Lord. I do research. And every time, you guys, every single time, that thing would not be there the next week. Every time. And the Lord began to teach me. Satan only does what he has a legal right to do based on things you've done or spiritual laws you've broken or things you don't understand. And so instead of keep asking for the same prayer and going to the same prayer lines, why don't you teach my people to come to me and find out why Satan's doing this? Because number one, it means his people have to grow up and be connected to the headship of Jesus Christ and not under the headship of a human being taking the place of Christ, which is called covering doctrine, by the way. And all of a sudden, God's people have to all grow up, and the leaders are no longer the elitist, which is actually why we have elitism in our government, because the church rules under an elitist system, and so we have no authority against the elitism. I'm just being honest. The biggest way I learned this, you want to hear a hard way to learn something? My son was so sick and so sick and so sick and so sick, and nothing was working, and the doctors were like, it's as if your son has gone through chemo, and there's scar tissue all over his where his blood vessels would be. And they go, has he had chemo? I said, he's never had anything like that. They go, well, it's like a covering over his bone. It's a over his bones. It was on his bones. There's like a covering over his bones. It's like a scar tissue all over his bones. So his bones make blood. There's nothing wrong with his blood. The blood cannot get out of the bones. The Lord began to show me scriptures about the dry bones, will these live again? And about the prophetic of his blood is fine, but there's a covering over his body, over his bones that won't let. So I'm just praying about this. So one night I have this divine visitation of the Holy Spirit. This is about year 7 into this. Up till that year, my son was life and death. I mean, life and death. He was so sick all the time. He had like, I don't even know. My husband's got everything written down, but I think it was like 7 or 8 blood transfusions. And so he went to NIH. Do you know you do not get to go to NIH? I didn't want to go to NIH. That's another whole story. National Institute of Health and Research, unless it's something major. And you give up all your rights to your child when you go there. That's another whole horrific story. It's the only place I've ever been at that time anyway. It's during the Clinton administration. The only place I've ever been where the Holy Spirit said to me, "Don't tell them you know me." I'm like, "What?" He said, "Don't tell them you know me." Because they sit there and give us an interview to try to take our child from us, to say we're fanatics. And God knew that. And I won't even get into all the weird treatments and stuff they wanted us to do. It's amazingly horrific. I'm not saying they don't do some good things, but there's a wrong spirit behind a lot of it. So I went through all that. That's another whole story. So this one night, finally, I said, "God," Holy Spirit came really strong in the room, just like the time in the closet. But now my prayer closet is now a room. And now when my husband's gone, it's the house. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit comes really strong and he says to me, "Would you like to know how to be free of that covering on your son's bones?" He says, "Because I'm going to tell you what most of the church doesn't want to hear." And I said, "Lord, if you can show it to me in your word, if you can show it to me in your word, then yes. If you can't show it to me in your word, then no." Amen. And he took me to the scriptures that talked about that Satan is the covering terrapin. He took me to the scriptures in Galatians, I think it says, "Who's bewitched you that you're to say, I'm of Paul, I'm of this one?" And the Lord began to say to me, "Do you understand this doctrine that came in with Catholicism, to be honest with you? To say, let's look to man instead of God." And the Lord began to teach me, we're to come alongside. The word leader, if you really look it up, it means one who walks alongside you. It's not one who walks above you. I can't even stand it when it says, "I'm under some." Please never say you're under this ministry. Just say, "God's knitted you to this ministry." Amen? Anyway, so I'm listening. The Lord's showing me this. He's showing me scripture. I said, "Lord," see, I'm not the rebellious type. If I wasn't doing what the, if this is don't park here, guess what? I don't park there. I was the kid in class that messed up everybody's curve because I did what the teacher wanted and I got straight A's and therefore I messed up their curve, you know, when everybody does bad on a test. I was the ones the kids didn't like because the teachers liked me. I was so anything but rebellious. And then God makes me look like this rebellious wild woman. It cracks me up. It's just like, "Lord, you know, I'm the one that all the pastors would have liked, everybody would have liked." But then God says, "No, you can't be a part of this because I'm going to bust this out of my church." And so I said, "Okay." The minute the Lord showed me that and I repented and renounced covering doctrine, I repented and renounced ever believing it, preaching it, or coming under it in any way, shape, or form. And I began to study church history and everything like that. My son was healed, not completely, but he never again was life and death. He went from a blood count. The normal's 15. They look for 11 at his age, whatever the number is. Some nurse might know. But his was usually a 3. He shouldn't even hardly be alive at a 3. After that point, he never went below a 7 again. You can live with a 7. The doctor said, "If we could get him to 9, we'll be happy." Well, the child is full at the full number now. He just takes one pill a day. He used to take tons. He took the same kind of meds that you took for transplants patients, not to reject an organ. And God gave me a lot of prophetic for that. And he doesn't take this one most of the time. He forgets and stuff and he's fine. But God is waiting for them to take that last one when there's going to be this outpouring of a Holy Spirit like we've never seen before. And it's just amazing. And like I said, I never knew it would go this long. Amen. This all started when he was 6 and he's 33. But the life and death part was over by then. And then it was just learning and beginning to minister and to do the things God showed me to do and all this kind of thing. I don't want anything to do with pretended faith. It hurts people. Pretended faith is faith. It's using the word of God, but not dealing with your fear. It's using the word of God, but not sitting down and talking to God about the fear, not being real about what you're looking at, not dealing with the fear of bearing another child, not dealing with the words that Satan is speaking to you, not dealing with the testimonies of where it didn't work, amen? Not dealing with the generational curses. There's so many things that only Holy Spirit can show you these things, amen? And they're like, well, how do I do this? You can't. You can't do it. You were never intended to do it. What do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he takes care of everything. That's it. Seek first. Now, when I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I'm going to love his word. I'm going to read his word. I'm going to speak his word. I'm going to embrace his word. I'm going to let his word get on the inside and the outside. When I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, I'm going to go from glory to glory. He's going to deal with my heart issues. Amen. I'm going to recognize the fruit of the Spirit. Let me just say this. In this journey for compassion, he gave it to me. I was really rough along the journey. I was really rough along, but I've loved people that most people wouldn't give the time of day to.
Amen.
And I hang in there with people. And I learned to love people if they were people I would have never even thought of hanging out with. Amen. I go to the Philippines now, and the hardest one is India. And I love them. I love them. I love everybody who comes to this church. And I realize I actually know I can love everybody now. How do you know you can love everybody? Because I've found out that everybody that God brings into my life that I get to know, and I get to help them get free, and I get to see them through the eyes of God, that I love them. So I know if I can love everybody that he brings into my life, I can love everybody he has. I can love everybody. I know how to separate the enemy from the person. I've learned these things. Amen. I know how to separate and see who what God sees. You know, one of the greatest, you know, Paul says he wishes all would prophesy. You know, Paul says that. Paul says, I wish that all would prophesy like I prophesy. One of the greatest gifts of prophesying, if it's not about you and it's about hearing God as God reveals himself to people, is his great love for people. People I was going to give up on completely. And then I would prophesy without my opinions. I've learned to lay them down and try not to have them. Amen. And I would begin to prophesy these great things into people's lives. And I would begin to see them as a child and see what they went through and see how God wants to rescue them. And I would fall in love with people that I didn't even like. And I don't use that one, well, I'll love you, but I won't like you. No, the truth is when you see the way God does, you'll recognize that you'll begin to love them and you begin to like them. You like who he made them to be. You help them become who he's made them to be. Amen. That's real ministry. Real ministry is seeing through the eyes of God and the heart of God and helping people become who God wants them to be, not followers of yours, but connected to the headship of Jesus Christ. The greatest need in the church, the greatest need in our nation is for people to know God and hear God and walk with God and begin to be the church, the living epistles, amen, the living stones. And instead, we spend most of our time trying to get healed again and trying to get the bills met again and trying. You know what I want us to do? I want us to walk in that, amen. I want us to get healed today and stay healed, amen?
Amen.
But I would like us to begin to get our focus on faith for the real deal.
Amen.
Faith that could get you martyred, but you see Jesus stand up. I don't mind dying for Christ, but to see him stand up for me. You know, Stephen didn't feel any pain. Because he had the faith to be martyred. He had the faith. You go read the book of Acts and you look at their complete dedication to serving God no matter what the suffering. You look at their heart to give. You look at their heart to just glorify God. You look at the way the word says that some of them wouldn't even receive relief from their death sentence that God would have given them because they wanted a better resurrection. I'm like, Lord, where is this real church? Where is this real church? It's going to come forth again, amen? It's going to come forth again. So my prayer as we get ready to go into ministry is that you want faith for something bigger than paying your bills. Get our teaching on free from the fear of money. And you cannot serve mammon and God. Just know it. You can't. You can't. Let me tell you, never ever again say, Lord, I need more money. Say, Lord, I need more faith. Faith is the resource of the kingdom. Faith is the resource of the kingdom. Faith will bring everything you need, however he wants to do it. Money is the resource of the world. Money is the resource of the world. So am I trying to live in the kingdom and seeking first the kingdom, or am I trying to live in the world and trying to get the kingdom? Ooh, am I trying to use the kingdom to get the stuff of the world? Or am I living in the kingdom and the stuff of the world that I'm supposed to have comes along right when I need it for his purposes and his glory? We got to get this whole thing turned around. Amen. We got to get this whole thing turned around. And it's easy. It's like, I cannot do it. You cannot do it. Say, I cannot do it. Because he's going to do it. All he wants me to do is to be led by his spirit. That's it. What he wants me to, he's like, Cindy, I got this. I got this. You know, Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and came out full of power and passed all the temptations. See, it's not like, well, I don't want to go in the wilderness because I don't want to go through all that. You're going to go through all that. Okay, no matter what, because Satan owns stuff in you. So the question isn't, are you going to go through it? The question is, who's going to lead you through it? Are you going to be led by the Holy Spirit, who promised you that all things work together for good to those who love him and are called to his purpose? Is he going to lead you through it? Or are you going to let the devil come in and cash in on what he's already placed in you to destroy you? Do you understand what I'm saying? This isn't like, No, the truth is, let's just jump in and let Holy Spirit take us there. But I'm telling you, some of you today, y'all have been walking around the same wilderness forever. Because all you think about is you, and all you think about is, let me say this, if you even say, Lord, if you heal me, I'll do this. Number one, you're wrong. You do this if he tells you to do this, and then your healing comes. If you say, Lord, if you give me more money, I'll do this, you're serving the wrong God. See, I want to put my faith towards things that glorify God, and he will take care of me. I went to other countries where I couldn't even talk to my son for 3 weeks while they were rushing him to the hospital. And as I was driving there and people were probably talking about my lack of loving my son, God was telling me he's only safe when you're in my will. The minute the plane took off, when I got back 3 weeks later, my husband said, the minute you took off, he was perfectly fine. And I could tell you so many stories. Some of you are wasting your stories. You can't get past the first story with victory. You can't get to the next chapter because you keep looking at that place you're stuck at. And when am I going to have the money? When am I going to be healed? Well, if that's the way you see the kingdom, you will not have the money and you will not be healed. But if you begin to change the way you see things, you are a child of God. Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, fully lives inside of you. Whoa! Your problem is not even a problem. It's your yieldedness and your complete yieldedness to him and dealing with what he wants to deal with that is your problem. So we are going to pray. I didn't even open. I got all these scriptures back there. All the ones on faith in the book of Acts. See, I look at this and say, there's no way we can do this in a day. You know that too. It's like, this would be like 5 years. All we can do is get you hungry. All we can do, like Joanne and Greg said, is to build up your expectation, your hunger to receive. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the spoken word of God that lines up with the written word of God. Amen? You have to have hope first. Hope is earnest expectation. Hope isn't like, I hope so. Real biblical hope is, God is building hope in me. He's building this place in me to be able to receive. as Joanne said. It's like a building up to a place where faith bursts through and you get what you're believing for. Amen? It's all been done. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant it. What more do you need than God living inside of you? I promise you this, you'll never get more than God living inside of you. If you're not born again, make sure before you leave today that you are born again. That you seriously made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Not just an answer to being healed or set free. Lordship means I'm going to do what you say when you say it. You are Lord of my life. I am your bondservant. I am your slave. And you're going to take care of everything that has to do with me. And you're going to heal me. You're going to deliver me. You're going to heal me. But all for the purpose of glorifying the Father. See, the Father, I'm going to finish with this. I'm serious. Let me explain. I know a lot of people BFA, but it's amazing how many people don't understand the Godhead. We'll never know. It's such a mystery. You know, if you don't, just ask him. So in Colossians, I think 3, but it's in, go read the book of Colossians. Let me explain this a little bit, what he showed me, and it's very biblical. Our Father, Father God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's God. When I say God, I'm talking Father God. Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's God, and Holy Spirit. Amen? That's God. And the way the threesome works is the Bible says our Father is an all-consuming fire. No one can even look at him and live. Whoa. An all-consuming, powerful, mighty fire. I believe he stays on his throne. I believe, according to the word, that Jesus looks exactly like him, but Jesus we can see. So the Father is the Spirit who has the exact same look and looks exactly like Jesus Christ. Amen? And so here is this all-consuming fire God, and he chooses to create. So he chooses to come forth from himself, Son, the first to come forth of all creation, came right out of the Father, exactly looks like the Father. I call it like the mobile Father. And it's called a Son. Isn't that cool? That's why babies come out of us. As a prophetic reflection. So here's Son. Now get this. First of all, it is impossible to put God in a box because he is the box. Nothing exists outside of him. So when Jesus walks out and begins to speak, let there be life, let there be this, and he begins to speak the power of his word, amen, it happens, and it happens, and it happens, and it happens, and it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it never stops. How cool is God? Now the Spirit, who's right there with the Father, right there in the Son, released through all the speaking of God. How cool is that? So Jesus, when he came to redeem mankind, I can't get into all that, it would take a long time. He had to be, when you hear somebody, it could have been an angel. It could not have been an angel. It had to be a man. And it had to be a perfect, sinless man. And then the testing and temptation was, would he stay sinless? Because if he had got up there and said, to hell with all of you, I don't know if he would have continued to be, I don't know what, thank God it didn't happen. Because then he wouldn't be doing what only the Father said, and he had every capability of doing it. Thank God he didn't fail his test. But I tell you what, if he said it, that's what would have happened to us. Whew. Wow. What a price. To come down here and become like us, to understand us in a better way and to relate to us and to be afflicted in all the things we've gone through so that he could go back to the Father after he paid the price for in the grave and hell in the grave, to go sit at the right hand of the Father, at the right hand of the Father, ever praying for us. What's he praying? First, he sends the Holy Spirit. He gets there. He sends the Holy Spirit into us. Book of Acts. Look how wild it looks when God comes in. It should look wild the whole time. Holy Spirit comes in. Jesus now for this time until he comes back soon when the bride's ready. He's ever interceding for you. He's not just saying, oh, I pray they get healed. You know, he's praying, Lord, let their faith rise up and they know they are healed. Let them know what I've done. So here's how I see it. And I can't prove all this with scripture. But I see the Father who, he's so perfect. He's so full of faith that he can't even see what the devil's doing. It doesn't even concern him. That's why he can laugh. And so he's looking at you, whatever your situation is, he's looking at you already healed. He's looking at you through perfect faith based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. So he sees you if it's in ministry. He sees you in your marriage. He sees you raising your kids. He sees you. I believe it's like he just sees this vision he has for your life that's perfect, the plan he has for you. Amen? And then I believe Jesus is here looking at the going, whoo. And he's interceding. And the Holy Spirit's on her going, oh, this doesn't look good. You know, that woundedness that their mom did to them when they were 7, it's still affecting their believing that they're lovely. It's still affecting that they can have a good marriage. This thing that Satan did. And here's Jesus interceding. Holy Spirit, the Father sees them whole. Get them to this meeting where we finally raised up people to know how to heal the brokenhearted. Get them to go to this. Get them to get this book. Everything, just always, always what? Ordering the steps of the righteous. Now, here's the part that faith will do. We will begin to cooperate with Holy Spirit. We will not blame him for what the devil's doing. We will not buy the lies of the enemy, even when it's man-made doctrine. Amen? We will begin to believe the word of God and begin to trust this powerful God who's ever interceding for us before a powerful, mighty, heavenly creator Father who sees everything in his perfected form. Amen? And I'm just saying this by faith in God and the will of God. I am not going to barely crawl into heaven all sick and decrepit with absolutely nothing to glorify him, to find out what the Father saw that I missed because of my skin color or my being a male or female and whatever, because of my parents or this and that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to let God set me free and heal me so that I'm not the victim wimp that's going to barely get into heaven when I got this Father seeing this great thing he has for my life. Amen? 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 So when we get ready to pray and prophesy over people, we want to do that for you to get the vision that Father has for you, amen? For you to get the understanding that Jesus is interceding and praying for you, and for you to get everything that's already been done, amen? Amen? I actually want you to get, I'm so glad that Joanne prayed for the healing and felt the presence of the Lord, because I'm kind of tired of every line in church being about healing. Amen? 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 Is there anybody here who can get some faith for God to use the rest of your life for his glory? And for God to make a way for you to be light in darkness? And for God to give you boldness to stand no matter what? And for God to set you free in such a way that your family will know there's something different in you? And that people will begin to come to you and ask you, what's different about you? How many would like to turn their eyes to seek in the kingdom first? Believe God's healed us, amen? He's done it. Jesus talks about it and talks about it and talks about it because he showed us what he was going to do, amen? Amen? We're going to receive that today. I hope you already received it. Amen? But let's take our faith and apply it like the book of Acts. Ho! For boldness. For boldness against this corrupt government in Virginia. Amen? Ho! Boldness. Boldness to stand up and say, man, let me tell you what. If I got the boldness and I was black, if I got God's supernatural boldness and I was black, I would love to be able to stand and say, quit saying that a homosexual needs rights because blacks had to fight for rights. God made me black. He did not make anybody homosexual. Quit comparing the two. Quit comparing the two. I refuse to buy into that lie anymore. Do you know, if you said that, you would bust it up.
How can you let somebody compare your skin color that God gave you because of where he placed you on the planet or your ancestors to homosexual sin or people who are confused in who they are as a male or woman? Now, let me say this. I've seen homosexuals get free and transgenders. Amen. I have tons of compassion, and it takes a lot of moving in the gifts of the Spirit because there's so much bondage. Amen. So quit. I'm not making, the reason there's so many homosexuals and people with confusion now being born to the parents in the body of Christ is because we've judged that so bad. Amen. See, we try to find the sin we know we're not guilty of. Amen? Now we need to repent of that. We need, like I did like the prophecy, I do believe there's got to come a move of the Holy Spirit to set people free. Because most pastors I've met have never really set anyone free. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then the anointing breaks the yoke. So what if you pray for somebody, they fall down, but if you really check on them in a year, they're no different? Ooh. That's called a sign and wonder. That's not called a healing. Amen? You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. I'll just throw this one out there. In the book of James, which is the only scripture I find for believers being sick, and what do you do? In the book of James, what does a believer do when they're sick? They go to the elders. Let me tell you, elders isn't a title you put on yourself or some board votes. Elders means somebody who's mature in the things of God, knows the word of God, moves in the power of God, and can see by the Holy Spirit how to help you. And then it says, if you go to those people and they pray for you and you confess your sins and you deal with your issues, then the prayers of those elders is powerful if they have faith. The righteous prayers are going to prevail. That's the only scripture I can find for Christians. I'm just being honest. Amen? How about if we start to enter into that? How about we start to enter into that? How about if we take time? I believe you're healed. Jesus did it 2,000 years ago. Amen. But if you want to go deeper into getting free from how the enemy tries to make you sick or kept you sick, then go talk to God about it and get free. Amen? And mean it. Break his power, do all the things scripture says, amen? And then begin to go out there into the world where we are supposed to go and lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. Can you imagine if the church really got healed and free? And then we went out there and attacked the whole world with healing power, amen? Amen? We would really see a major, major powerful revival like Jesus Christ saw and the early church. Amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.